He made his podcast guest spot on another big fan. We got Art Hall from Subversive Cinema here today, folks. Say hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. I am your host, Sully, and we are going into just the most outrageous of all the Z film makers. The best of the best. Just we're going to do a special on Plenty of Other Ones. All these other guys who build their own cult film base, for better or worse. And it's like, hey, you know, we're going to get to the Birdemic guy. We're going to get to Tommy Wiseau, but we got to get into Neil Breen, because he has practically conquered the internet.
He is now the crown prince of bad movies, if you ask me. He's just not stopping.
He's not stopping. I mean, for him to do a 5-hour retrospect and then decide that's enough, this is like, no, you got it. You have to have lost it. And that's where the interest and appeal comes in. And I did go through all of his movies again. You're welcome.
I'm
going through his movies, it was just so funny hearing you just note like all these other things. I'm like, hold up. I'm getting that mixed up with this. Not that any of them make any kinds of sense, but they do have that Coleman Francis, Jesus Franco, just all that other just schlock, just a pillar. You're just like, I seriously want to know what was going through their mind, because it's more than just here's Charlie Sheen if he, you know, when he was high in this interview, or some of these other B movie guys who are on too much acid. Is like, no, I really want to know how he thinks, because it is just so hysterical how he was just so okay. Let's backtrack. How the hell did you even give him a moment of your time? I'm sure you mentioned it, but I don't remember it, because I'm just too distracted by your reactions to various movies and which one, like Double Down, was sucked more ass than Pass Through and what have you.
Well, I actually found his stuff. I live in Los Angeles, and I had gone to one of our small art house theaters. I think it was the New Art, to see some other movie. I can't remember. This is how much this is emblazoned itself in my mind.
Was it the recent piece of shit he did, Twisted Pair?
No. This is a while ago. Like, I saw a trailer for Fateful Findings.
Oh, my God.
It must have been when Fandango. I saw the trailer, I thought, what the fuck is this? And that's how much it impressed me, because I don't remember what I went to see, but I remember seeing the trailer for it.
It didn't matter. You were at a forgettable movie and you saw a great trailer for an infamous.
Oh, yeah. Sebastian. And I knew I had to see it. So we came back later that week when they were playing it as a midnight movie. And a couple of my friends, they never heard of it. I brought them down. And my God, it was the most fun we had since The Room.
That's great. Now, ironically, so that's a good draw. So I saw a random just article that was like, I don't know if it was like something awful or something, but maybe it was Joblo, maybe it was whatever the hell it was. I can't find it now to save my life. And I have clicked it and used different keywords, but they were interviewing this guy and they were like, he is the next Tommy Wiseau. And I kid you not, he was like saying, this is like Citizen Kane meets The Room. I'm like, whoa. But he didn't say that to be sarcastic. He said it because he legit like considers The Room a good movie. I'm like, so perfect. I don't know if he thinks Wiseau is an indie movie god or what have you. Because as a contrast, you know, I've seen other B movie guys shit on each other's work. You know, you've covered Jim Wynorski and Fred Olen Ray, all those guys, and they're hysterical on how they'll talk about infamous movies that are out now in theaters. And it's like, whoa, dude, you make your living doing stupid made-for-TV direct-to-video and effects shit. So you don't, come on. You're best known as the directors of stuff like, you know, Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers and, you know, Death Stalker 2. So don't get me wrong. Those are
both infamous classic titles, by the way. But
classic titles, classic titties, classic fun movies.
Yeah, you know, it's T words.
Yeah, double T. But it's just so hysterical when I see them shit on other movies. It's like, you have made a living doing cult, you know, stock footage driven movies starring B-listers. So move aside. But what got me was when they asked Johnny Yen, who you know as the director of Birdemic films, and I know you covered part two of it. It was so hysterical how he was asked like an interview what he thought of other infamous people who he was associated with, and he was like, I think Tommy was so, oh, that's crap, but oh, I make high art, I'm making horror movies. So it is funny when you see the ego on people. And here I am, I'm just looking at this article, I'm like, Neil, I've heard vaguely a Double Down. It kind of was doing the rounds on like Red Letter Media type sites and other stuff. But when I see this guy and this Fateful Findings, and then when you follow it up with, you guys have talked about before, he gets all political. He gets, one minute he has like a shot that's kind of decent. That could be an okay art house type movie, if not something you do for to make your parents falsely think you made it. But then seeing him be kind of religious and how basically he's had to self-distribute his movies, that was the key part. I was like, and then seeing even people troll him on IMDb, like, even before they closed on the message boards, like, they were messing around with the content ratings, saying someone steps on someone's balls, and it's like, doesn't happen, but that's hysterical that you're just trying to encourage people to not see these shitty movies by adding inappropriate keywords in description. But yeah, like, he half his movies, like, they didn't sell well, or he got like in a conflict of interest or some shit. I don't know the whole story to that, but it's just so funny how he, the internet, it came out at the right time. People still have seen his movies through the internet and YouTube clips and just guffawed and just laughed themselves silly, because it is just so awesome and yet so repulsive at the same time. You're just seeing this guy who's got this so-called vision and having okay production values, and then just eating it up into, like, actually, no, I think he compared himself to David Lynch. That's what it was.
Oh, is that his new fallback? Is he's just going to start comparing himself to people who do strange things?
Yeah, he's just another self-absorbed dick. And it was so funny. I did. So Stinker Madness, not a diss, but I'm not fond of them because they stink. They're very snobby. But they had a random like GeoCities. They were like, not GeoCities. It was like some Yahoo group. And they found like an interview with one of the actresses who said that he was kind of grabbing people's asses and just kind of just so in love with themselves. And I think someone almost fainted or got in an accident, but it turned out okay, because everyone basically all had a giant ego and was in love with that. And it's just so funny how I give him a pass, because I hardly would consider him capable of being a Weinstein type or Les Moonves creep. I'm just like, yeah, right. I'm thinking he's just... He's better than even... Okay, so I'm here in Dallas, Texas, and there's so much garbage there. There are so many people who make movies that have no beginning, middle, and end, and are just confusing, and they even try to take their short films together and make a crappy anthology. And so, thank God Amazon has stopped doing that, and even Tubi's putting a precedence for how they want their content. So it's just like, I'm to the point now where I'm just like, this guy, what separates him from, say, an infamous like Lifetime or Hallmark Channel shitfest that you film in like North Carolina or Oklahoma, is just like, he basically just, he does it all himself. And then when he needs you, he brings him in. And now, like you say, people are reacting to it like a Rocky Horror, but just really way worse, or The Apple, where they're going to midnight screenings of his movies or doing the bad movie parties, and they are just loving just how awkward just everyone delivers their lines, and how he can't work a computer properly.
He's just, he can't do it. Anything properly.
Yeah, well yeah, that's true. Like, why just
movement and life are seemingly big struggles.
I don't know, I don't think he walks as poorly as the guy in Birdemic, but he's up there. He does kind of he'll be saying, I need to get here, he'll have some urgency, and then like you say, he'll state in the most dull way. And he just thinks that he, because he's staring into the camera, that's intense enough. And you just don't know. But it, like you say, it's a fascinating contraption of shit. And it is just so wild, because you're just blown away by it. It's like if you were to see your cat, Erp, and then just, I don't know, an explosion happen in the background. It's just that kind of is like, can't look away. Just, it got your attention and you should be repulsed, but yet you're fascinated. And you're like, I must see more. This is bad, you know?
Yes, yes. It definitely pulls you down and does not let you go. Very much like some sort of demon from hell.
Oh, yeah. I don't even... So his movies have played at the Butt-Numathon. Thank you, Harry Knowles, Vane at Kohl's. So it was in Austin, Texas. Damn you, Texas, making all these movies. That's where Fateful Findings was. Because I'm not kidding, guys. These pieces of shit played in theaters. So Twisted Pair premiered. That was theatrically released in 2018. And I think you said you saw a screening of it and were bored. Or did you see a DVD?
Yeah, I actually went to the theater and I saw this one at the one of the Lemley theaters in North Hollywood here.
Do you think he'll actually do a sequel to this crazy attempt at, like, one minute it's like a cyberpunk-esque, like, corporation thing, then the next minute it's like a between various dimensions bullshit, and then it just goes into all sorts of utter crap?
Yes. Well, to answer that, I will actually sort of lean on what my what I like to call my resident specialist in Breenism, who was on my show for the entirety of Breen's catalog, Richard. The way he looked at it, and I agree, is that Neil Breen has been essentially making the same movie over and over again, as if every time is a different attempt at trying to narrow into the perfection that he sees in his mind. So I think he will make a sequel, but if anything, it'll be what the kids call a requel, where it will be a revisionist version of this, trying to, you know, build on the themes he's already established, you know, with, I forgot which one,
Kate. Let's call it Kate. Instead of Pass Through 2 or Twisted Pair 2, let's call it Twisted Pass Through.
Exactly.
Twisted Pass Through, you know, Finding.
It's like, you know, Fateful Twisted Passing Through Here Now Down, you know, whatever. But it's, yeah. So I think he will make in. Now, will it be a direct? Probably not. I mean, I'm sure he'll, in his mind, he'll see it as a brand new story with a familiar character or some bullshit like that. But, you know, but the soft answer would be like, in some ways, he's always making sequels. It's like the universe in which these movies exist.
Dolly.
I don't know. And the description
doesn't go anywhere. It's like Double Down sounds almost like a A-Team or Die Hard in Vegas. And it's anything but. It's a guy.
Oh, no, it's not. Yeah.
It's anything. Naked. It's practically Neil Breen filming himself after he just won the lottery and then deciding halfway through, hey, I should actually make there be a random story and explosions go along with this. And Pass Through, yeah, it sounds like a Taken or Man on Fire type movie. And
yeah, it does, right? Yeah, you'd imagine it should be like Man on Fire, but no, it's
a bunch of immigrants. It's a
meditation on drugs and immigration and human trafficking.
Yeah, but even then, it's like, oh, wait, what? Is this a PSA? Oh, people are now dying, and I'm not sure what this villain's plot really is. It never really does make any sense, because why would it make sense? Neil Breen thinks anything makes sense just by looking at it.
No. He's such a consistently curious person to me that I would love to just be able to get the truth from him, but I don't think anybody ever will, because I have to say, I feel like he has, you know how you can actually, I don't know if you've ever met a real pathological liar, like a clinical pathological liar. It would be, I imagine it would be the same way talking to him, where, you know, he's got something not right going on upstairs, and he would genuinely fight you to the fucking death that what he is doing is purposeful art, but in some way he knows it's not, but he's not going to let that go. He's not going to give up that guard. So there's never going to be any chance of getting the truth out of him. But man, is he just a compelling dude because he's so weird.
Right. And I love how when you go to Rotten Tomatoes, it's like highest rated, lowest rated, not available for either.
Yeah, it's interesting because he's I tell you, we ought to call him a Neil Forbreen, because that's a pretty much static rating for all of his movies, with the exception of Twisted Pair, which is clocking in at a 5. So apparently people think this is the best of his canon, but I disagree.
I can't argue with you. It is like saying, again, just like, what do you want? Who do you want to hang out with? The sibling who leaves all your food in the microwave instead of in the fridge, or your best friend in college who just cannot stop, you know, stop throwing cigarettes out of the ashtrays and what have you? It's just like...
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide, all across the globe. We are in the U.S. We are in the U.K. We are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
We're on all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
And I don't know about you, but he is cited in 100 greatest cult films as movies that got a lot of attention. And this Christopher J. Olsen author, was he just sucking his dick? Is he just keeps going, it was a breakout hit, reintroducing familiar motifs. And it's like, he's not trying to be sarcastic. I'm like,
oh, yeah, that sounds like a line of bullshit. I mean, like, I could get him, you know, quoting it as something in a list of, you know, popular or whatever, because look, I mean, the movies have exploded because of their strangeness and their terribleness. So he's not like making that up, but if he's going to sit there and try to justify this, whoever this author is, then that's just a load of shit. You know, there is no justification. People like to point shit together and here it is.
He must have just been very blind into what cult meant, because you're looking at all the movies he's listing on there. I'm like, okay, was at one point, it's now considered classic, this movie. Well, that's the first time I've seen that on a cult list. I don't think the guy's very well researched at all.
He just wrote a book because he had a computer. So,
and then he put the Big Lebowski on it saying greatest cult films. I'm like, well, okay.
Oh, come on now. That's not a cult film by any fucking measure in my that's a studio picture.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, it's a very popular movie. Would I call it cult? I don't think I would. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe we have different
opinions. Cult movie would be something like Maniac Cop or McBain. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Something that's just like, you know.
Something made for $2 million or under, or, you know. But cult movies now, like you say, are often take the Lebowski or Blade Runner thing where there's like, okay, it flopped, but now it's in the top whatever. It's like, well, okay, so that's a reevaluated movie. This guy's movies are funny in that you're just, like you say, you're just trying to make any sense of it for a man who credits him in every realm. And you're just like, I don't even know how he could have done that right, because, I mean, that's not even on screen. Like,
don't worry, he didn't.
Yeah, he probably didn't. He was required to fill out the number of people on the call sheet, and he's the only guy on set, practically, aside from camera A and camera assistant one, who's might be trying to do camera B, but really, it's Neil Breen just setting up a camera on a desk and holding it still, you know?
Actually, you evoke a very funny image of, I could see him, because he posits himself as being such a quote unquote professional, that I can imagine him actually sitting at a computer and typing with, like, you know, each index finger alone.
A thousand.
Just a call sheet for himself with like Neil Breen in every fucking, you know, box. And then he gives himself the call sheet the next day because he's that professional. I just see him going through.
He has a bunch of money, and he clearly fooled a lot of people into thinking it was a legit thing. So, and I wonder, he must have paid them a shit ton of money for them to just not practically, other than that one actress who we heard, and just not say anything, because it couldn't have been a good experience. It had to have been amateur hour. They're like, oh, this guy, he doesn't take proper breaks, or, you know. And
I think I just need to make it my quest to hunt down anybody in his movies and just try to talk to them, you know, and just really see if I can, you know, get them to open up a bit.
Something. Just say something.
Yeah. The truth is out there and it must be found. We must understand who this man is, you know.
So Cassie Corpus was the one who was interviewed. And she has done a bunch of other non-existent movies. Sanctioned to Die, Gabe the Cupid Dog, Kill Dobie Kill, Christ Rising.
Oh, yeah, oh, no, she's doing a bunch of, you know, a bunch
extra
of
work on Ray Donovan and Ballers.
Yeah, I was going to say, anything that she's done on a recognizable title, it's as a credit, as a uncredited extra. And then she's just doing a bunch of, you know, indie schlock movies or whatever, so.
Hey. Sounds like the life.
Yeah, you know what? Hey, good on you, girl. Just keep doing your thing.
Yeah. It does get annoying, though. I mean, when having been an extra, it's like you kind of wish they would just kind of be a little more honest, because there are times where they'll play it up. It's like, no. You're barely in that shot. You know, just put that as a credit. Don't put that as a actual acting role, because I see that too. Yeah. And it's like, oh
man, I have a friend who does that, and I find it to be the funniest fucking thing. He'll be like, yeah, I just did this role. I'll be like, really? How many lines did you have? Well, no lines, but featured extra. Oh, okay, sure, let me see.
You're
this.
Not gonna get your SAG card until you
there's your elbow. Yeah,
right.
But I digress. Back to the Breen.
So if Neil Breen were to team up, who do you think he would team up with? Because he's got to get someone else who is just as batshit crazy. But I think, I don't know, Tommy Wiseau, I don't think he's going to go for that. And I don't think he's going to go for any of the guys making, like, deliberately, like, funny versions of their infamous movies, like the Samurai Cop guys or, you know, Deadly Prey. I don't think he can laugh at himself, because I don't think he has any humor. I think he takes everything too seriously.
Right. You know, that's a really good question. It's so funny because I'm trying to think of some directors who have just... Oh, you know what? I mean, this guy fallen out of favor, but I would love to see him and Troy Duffy try to do anything together.
Maybe.
I think he's still persona non grata, but I mean, if you're talking about just doing a shit show, then you could always throw Joel Schumacher or...
Joel Schumacher passed away, my dude. Come on.
Oh, damn. Okay, then that's one down. Oh, what about... Wait, is is Paul Verhoeven still kicking? Because
I'm only thinking about... Dutch. He's doing some good movies now.
He's doing good stuff now. I'm thinking like Showgirls era Paul Verhoeven, you know?
If Neil Breen had done... He would have probably been, I guess, in his 20s. He's got to be like 40, 50.
Oh, I thought we were pie in the sky and just putting people together, like, you know.
I mean...
Oh, you know what?
I'm thinking of now.
I got it.
People on the same non-existent budget level.
Uwe Boll. That's who he needs to work with.
I think he's been kicked out, so I don't know.
I mean, he'll have to go to Germany to work on things, but, you know, it's cool.
He could be a producer, sure. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I think they...
Well, who would you see him teaming up with?
Man, turn the ride around. So... I'm thinking maybe just some of those other guys who were doing you won't know any of their names, but like they've been doing like deliberately like just cheesy, like shitty movies. Like there's a bunch of them. There's these one group of guys did Don't Fuck in the Woods 1 and 2. And then there's like,
oh,
these other
guys. I have yet to see that, but I've heard of that.
My one pal, Rebecca Reinhardt, has worked with a bunch of these people who just do all these like deliberately stupid slashers. Like they literally don't want to think. And some of them are just, again, just trying way too hard, or you're just not going to see just because the poster is just so lame. Yeah. I mean, if anything, he could probably use Ubal's money. Unfortunately, a lot of those companies that were taking those kinds of movies really aren't doing them anymore.
Well, what about the asylum? Maybe he should just team up with those folks.
He might have to do the asylum, and it'll be at the point where they just they're like, "Hey, you're just so funny. Sure, we'll let you do whatever." that's a good point. The asylum is literally like the last one. They just made enough money from their Sharknado dog shit.
So then now they could just really just shit the bed, no matter what they want to do.
Yeah, and market that shit. That's the thing, is like, enough people are so sick of just oversaturated blockbusters, they're still gonna watch these other movies, even though they're worse than some of the various. You know,
there is another guy that comes to mind, and he has sort of been hiding on the fringes, and I've only recently discovered him. Mark Polonia, who has done such things as Landshark, Camp Murder,
I was Bigfoot thinking of him
Zombies.
Too. He was in that same realm where I was.
Sharkula, yep. I mean, like, dude, if you're doing like Amityville in space, mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is prolific as fuck. He's making like 6 or 7 movies a year.
1,000%. There was another guy. He was literally just like taking titles and putting them together, like Alien Jaws or some shit. And there was. But yeah, Polonia, I think he started off with, Aliens versus Avatar, just to the point where you're just like, how has he not been, you know, sued yet? How did anyone even pick up his movies, considering the posters are just so bad? But yeah, I mean, because Roger Corman might pass away slowly. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this idiot, like, impresses Joe Bob to where he's just like, you know, I'm going to give you some money, you know, you're funny.
Oh my god, that would be amazing.
You're not meant to be funny, but you're kind of
funny. It doesn't matter, though. It's still funny.
Still funny. It's funny.
Hell yeah.
I mean, he has somehow stayed here long enough to do a few things, and yet he's... I don't know if he even really wants to continue doing this, because he doesn't have any deadline, and that's kind of the problem. That's what started out so funny when we were looking at his movies, and now that's kind of bogged down into a bunch of other issues, in that there's nothing to like keep him going, because he's not doing this for money or anything. He's doing this just because he can, you know. Mm-hmm. Which is different from all the others who, you know, grew a big head but had to put some kind of food on the table, so they just, you know, blew their load, and that was their best crazy kinds of movies. And it's like, I don't know what they could do that would actually work, because you know, like you say, he has to know, and yet at the same time, it's like any kind of athlete or rapper is like, if you say something fucked up on media, you still got to own it, because you got to get that street cred, that locker room talk.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if some shitty politician asks him to do a random thing and he fesses up to it, because he's like, oh, all that stuff I was preaching about politicians being evil, well, I gotta get paid. So
yeah, oh my god, I would just love.
I would guffaw. I'm like, he shot that casino video? Isn't he always talking about money is the root of all evil, even though he got rich overnight?
Yeah, exactly. it's so funny, because you're right. He has no deadlines. But I would love to be a fly on the wall.
Bunch of different hookers. There's no way he's going to.
Of course. I would just like to see. I want to know how this works, because, you know, look, I'm looking at his Twitter, right? September 25th of last year, pre-production on his 6th indie feature film has been going great, right? So he talks about, it's funny because he says, you know, got a soundstage, 3 camera shoot, got CGI artists, got an editor, blah, blah, blah. But yet, within, you know, a week, he's looking for a composer, which, you know, he's going to end up using stock music again.
That doesn't match up with him.
Of course. And then a month later, he's looking for another CGI artist. So it's clearly the first one was like, did not work out, you know, because I'm sure he's extremely demanding. Anybody who, you know, he's probably not paying really well, no matter how much money he has. And if you don't turn in the sort of level of, I don't know, quality that he's envisioning,
if you don't make him cry while he's looking at his own self on screen, then you've done something wrong.
I know. Well, he's gonna have a hard awakening because he is not aging gracefully. I can say that. This guy, he's right? looking worse every movie.
I would not be surprised if by the time he, actually gets to where he's getting, he's gonna probably have a giant belly. He's gonna probably have a bunch of people even breaking their silence and say, you know what, screw it, this guy is a hack, no one should work with him. But I am blown away by how he's just, again, like I said, he just keeps going, and yet everyone's just looking. He, like, I don't know if even the bad movie people are remembering him as much anymore, because he was kind of hot there for a minute, and then he's just taken too much time away.
Yeah.
And it's like, well,
it's been 4 years since his last movie, and that hasn't, he hasn't had a stretch that long since 2009 to 2013 for those two movies. He was actually ramping up where there was a 4 year break, another 4 year break, then a 3 year break, then a 2 year break, and now he's back on a 4 year.
And I mean, so. The internet helped in his favor, but now, I mean, it's the pandemic. People aren't looking for as many shitty movies as they were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think we reached our limit.
I say this as a lover of that. It is great to have that just bizarre, trippy movie. But I mean, people are just losing money and ratings, and we got streaming versus cable versus physical media wars now. It's a mess, and it's going to keep being a mess until someone figures something out. So it's just like, if you're going to do something like this, he's going to need more than just a Tubi original to work in his favor. He's got to find something that is going to make people say, okay, I'm not going to lie, that's pretty fucking funny, I will check that piece of garbage out. It has to be something that gets him, because so he's an overnight success, for better or worse, because
yeah,
it just happened, and he finally was able to somehow just be less over the top. And now my sister has a theory that he decided to escalate his career in reverse, do the worst possible thing, get the worst possible movie out of his system now. And then $30 million later, just say, oh, well, now I want that. I've got all these earnings, and I've done these, you know, movie that people have seen on Adult Swim and at exclusive screenings in LA and wherever. Now I can actually do the movie me and my friend have wanted to do for a while. Because it just doesn't make any sense otherwise, but yeah. Who knows? But yeah, I don't think he had a formula. And I think, you know, again, he was in Vegas. People are doing all kinds of freelancing there, you know?
Yeah.
Everything from porn to just casino commercials to other just random indie stuff. So I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if some people's, you know, he surprised a few people. They thought he was an actual corporation. He wasn't, but they thought he was. And then eventually he could be like banned in just a bunch of different states, and there would still be someone who kind of wants to know more about him, but they don't necessarily want to work with him. That's the thing. He doesn't.
Right.
He doesn't have even a crazy, you know, celebrity or politician to, you know, or pastor kind of draw. And I wouldn't be surprised if even the religious guys kind of, you know, who he was working for, kind of really got in hot water with them. They're like, hey, we can't release this through our Pure Flix, you know, knockoff label. It's too violent.
Yeah, his level of violence, though, it's
so outrageous. Yeah, so. It's cartoonish, and yet at the same time, yeah, I mean, it would be funny to see if there's anyone out there who legit likes his movies the way he is. And don't get me wrong, I've seen the kinds of people like him who are just flat out clueless, but I don't know that those people are just, you know, eventually they fade out, they get bored because they don't realize the whole professionalism part of this, let alone how you got to be on a set all day. And if you're not focused, people will just tell you to just take a hike. It's like, get the fuck out of here. I could have my niece do or son do my job for you, you know? But he is interesting because I do wonder what he's got. He's like the worst possible fantasy football team. And yet you want to know if he'll just like show up just randomly one day. Cause it's not like some of these other like B movie guys who retired years ago and then enough people recorded their movies off the movie channel or, VHS days and just randomly spotted them at a, hotel and got their photo or saw them at a convention and they embraced how goofy they were. Yeah, I was that killer cyborg. Yeah, I was a wrestler in those cheesy, movies. I don't think he has that kind of charm. So it's interesting. He's like, I do kind of want to know. And at the same time, I just don't think he's got any.
I bet you that the unfortunate truth is this is one of those where they say never meet your heroes. And I think this is 100% right with him, where I think if you were to actually talk to him, he's probably so self-righteous and self-involved that he's certainly not, I don't think he's as successful as he is based off of his charm. So,
totally. I think he would either bore the interviewer or he would even walk off the minute everyone started guffawing. And he's like, hey, why are you doing that? Hey. Yeah, I bet I suck. At least Jim Wynorski, is an asshole who just fucks around with fans. I've seen him do the whole various things where he's like, hey, I only do paid interviews. And the next thing you know, he goes on another show, totally money free. So, and I've seen Fred Olin Ray do the whole shtick. Oh, it's not shit. Oh, well, glad you enjoyed that stupid movie I made. It's like, people like to fuck around. And I don't think he even has time to fuck around because I don't think he knows what that means. I think he's just a guy he's like the guy at a protest who doesn't even know why he's holding the sign or what it actually means. It's just too much. He just knows he's doing a good thing, kind of, sort of. I don't know.
That sounds about right.
Well, it felt good at the time. I'm surprised he hasn't been brainwashed by QAnon or one of these other idiots. Doing video for them.
you never know. You never know. That could be the thrust of his next movie. My God, it would be so utterly insufferable, but absolute magic if he were to try to take any of that
Mike
bullshit
Lindell,
and
Donald
just
Trump,
make a story out of it.
Might have a guy who's just as crazy as you.
Oh, yes. Oh, that could be fucking epic. Oh my God.
Randy Quaid? Awesome. He's the only guy who's going to get a shot.
He could be like the greatest hits of crazy people. Those
Kevin Sorbo, fantastic. You want to make a movie on TikTok?
Now, that's something I would love to see Breen's take on, would be him trying to be like the TikTok influencer, but using his Breen sensibilities.
Oh, okay. Perfect. That brings us to our next segment.
Oh, perfect.
Drum roll, please. Yeah. Or shitty sound effects. Still better than no sound effects. Yeah. So he's going to just flat out just like, be saying, I got a bad, he's like Obi, all the Star Wars characters, I got a bad feeling about this, and then repeat it throughout the movie. I still got a bad feeling about this, mine is still. And yeah, he's gonna just be saying, because he's got to work for Steven Seagal.
Oh shit, yeah. If Breen will go to Russia, then that would be tits.
He might just have to go to Russia. I wouldn't be. Because he doesn't seem like the guy who's like, doesn't think COVID's a joke, but he's probably still one of those, he just is unrealistic in his expectation levels. I don't know if he's already that way and when he won the lottery or what have you, but he and Seagal are like, I mean, you watch On Deadly Ground and tell me he doesn't have that same mentality. He's like, the only way I can fight evil is by blowing up the environment. And yet I just blew up all these guys. And I'm doing the exact same thing my enemy did, which is destroy the parts of Earth.
My God, you know what? I never thought about that, but maybe that's why I like that movie so much.
He might, in fact, he might even be the guy who punches Steven Seagal is infamous. Like, you ask any martial artist or actor or stuntman to work with him. he was notorious for kicking them in the nuts. And that's practically, I could see Neil Breen even coming up and like seeing one bad thing and be like, hey, what are you doing? And kicks him in the nuts. And Seagal's like, see, I can respect a guy who doesn't take shit from anyone.
That's right.
One of us film my next concert where I play jazz with my guys in New Orleans.
That's right, Steven Seagal in the Dark Crystal Cave.
I worked for the FBI.
Make sure you watch my Lawman series.
I killed a puppy and while charging through in a tank in a random neighborhood. Oh,
yeah. Oh, that makes me sad.
That's what happened. Yeah, lawman. Oh, man, Seagal. Oh, man. So, because it is wild how, yes, he's got all this batshit crazy stuff that would easily make an episode of Renegade or Walker, Texas Ranger. You know, one minute you're playing, the next minute you throw him through a window and the guy Corey dead. And then you give it a PG rating. You're like, wait, no! And it is so funny how it's like, even all these radical Christians who peck all this garbage cinema to spew out, they're not going to even take anything. They're not going to ask him to do something like Roe versus Wade or anything. They're right. Going to... Or God's Not Dead 5000 is like, no, they're gonna want. And I don't know that he could even do a competent, I mean, I don't know why I'm even teasing that. No, he can't, but I'm just saying, I'm really surprised with the amount of money he has that even the people who are making semi-decent, you know, B-movie stuff, you know, for USA or Cinemax or Sci-Fi Channel and TNT didn't even get a hold of his number, because it's like, he has zero experience, and yet he could easily rep himself, because he's like any kind of guy who does realtor stuff. He believes in all the shit he's spewing at you, and he's going to stare at you until you either decline or buy his shit product. So
it's the best way to do it.
He doesn't need representation, and yet he still can't make it. So, and if this many people haven't talked about his movies, that they must have not been all that serious about him either. So just not enough word spread. But I mean, he came in at the right time, because he, you know, in a different age, he would have been at a mom and pop video store and gotten, you know, like many of these, like, I love you, Joel D. Weinkoop, but he's a perfect example of these guys who just did all their shitty movies literally in their backyard and maxed out their credit card. In the 90s VHS days, and none of their movies got shown on any channel because they were just not even quasi watchable, but they were funny in that retrospect. So it's like, you know, there's this movie, I think it's called like Kindergarten Ninja or something, which was like a low budget. Yeah. Epic Z grade $100 ripoff of Kindergarten Cop. And it's like, and he, you know, he came out in the internet era. So it's a whole different story where your movie, if someone sees something that just makes them shit boulders guffawing at you, that's going to spread like wildfire. Wildfire. Why did I say wildfire? Ha. I can't speak today. Breen is literally melting my fucking brain right now. If so
Breen will do that, yes.
Because it's very clear, if he were anyone else, he could have fooled them, you know?
Yes.
And I keep going back to the Wynorski. Wynorski worked basically at a, you know, cabled shit station, and then just was able to kiss enough ass to do all his shitty movies that we all know and love. And Fred Olen Ray just basically was working with some guys who had worked on like Hammer horror stuff, and again, just said the right thing to where he got a chance and did a bunch of wrestling. And it's like, all these guys got a story. Roger Corman, again, didn't overpay anyone and always made his money back because they didn't cost anything. So it's just like, what is it? And Charles Band, he was literally, he, his dad, and his brother just all worked together and treated everyone right, and just got a bunch of people who were in B-movies and sci-fi shows to basically do all his goofy slashers and killer doll movies. So it's just like, there's a formula here, and I don't think he had, like you say, he doesn't have a formula, and he doesn't really have a game plan, but yet he had a bunch of momentum for those, like, straight 5 years to just, he could keep releasing his shit. And people would keep rediscovering it and say, oh, wow, how have I not seen this kind of cult movie, so to speak?
Yeah. I wonder if with him, the deal is that it's like, I wonder if he makes the movies just because he likes making movies, and, you know, whether or not people pick them up and run with them is of no consequence to him, you know? But as I said that,
Final Cut.
Yeah, exactly. But as I said that, I was like, you know what? I feel like he's also partly intrigued by, you know, finding some level of success. But it's like he's constantly undulating between, you know, ambition and apathy And it's like, he'll sit there and try something and then just put it back on the fucking shelf. I don't know. Again, he's such a weird guy who's just infinitely interesting to me.
He is. I will always light up and like, oh, wow, this is a special kind of shit sandwich. Got to check it out. And at the same time, I don't know that he can keep it up. He just doesn't have the momentum of some of these other guys where, you know, because he doesn't do horror movies. Anytime you tell someone, oh, I'm doing my own horror movie or my own sci-fi movie, people clamor. They're like, I want to do that. And, you know, he doesn't have a persona, so I don't think.
Yeah. Well, the problem is, again, he's been making the same movie over and over again. And I think that whatever his sixth film will be, if it is a rehash.
It's coming, guys. It's coming.
Yeah, it's coming. I've already put my faith in it. If it's a rehashing of the exact same well-worn tread, then I think that will be the nail in his coffin cinematically. But if he's able to divine some sort of new and, dare I say, quasi-original concept, but within the framework of Breenism, then he might have a bit of a renaissance happening again.
Mm.
But we'll have to wait and see. You know, it's again, I can only speak as this viewer. This viewer fell in love with the terribleness that was Fateful Findings. Then it was, you know, ratcheted up with I Am Here Now. You know, Pass Through was kind of, yeah, whatever. Double Down was just a fucking mess. And Twisted Pair was pretty ridiculous. So, yeah, but it was still fun. But, you know, they're all the same movie.
They literally all are. They're all, because he has a signature.
he has a message and he has a mission. He's got to help the world and get rid of one thing. I'll tell you what, though. As long as the next movie has something about corporate secrets, government secrets, and hacking, then I'll be fine. That's all right. I need.
Well, and as long as he has those just dry, just stilted turns of the cameras where he's saying something important and then he like almost semi forgets it, or he just doesn't hit his mark at all, because there are no marks to hit. That would require effort, let alone talent. So, but is this, yeah, that's the fun of it all. It's just the dry, just, hey, something's wrong. You know, he just has that down to a T. He knows how to.
Oh, yes.
And that's what's so funny. And it's, he can keep it up. He can do it in his sleep, because that's literally, that's him. And he has no persona. He's a weird ass dude. And it is just so funny how okay, so here's my prediction, drawing into this. Who do you think he might actually work with? Because I wouldn't be surprised if he gets people who will do anything, like Vivica A. Fox or Eric Roberts, or, you know, people
yes.
who never care as long as you got $2 million. And he might even get along with Eric Roberts, since Eric Roberts, believe it or not, is now pulling a Marlon Brando and being Mr. Cue Card.
Oh, shit. Has Eric Roberts gotten to the point of just not giving a fuck anymore?
Yeah, he does 20 movies a year. He's like, at least all he asks for is that he brings his wife along on vacation and he gets to just, you know, sit around and tell naughty jokes.
Yep. In that case, I would say that I would put him with the Neil Breen working with one of the Holy Trinity, the Eric Roberts, the Michael Madsen,
I think Madsen wants to get out of it, but he just comes back in. He might come in if, I don't know, you tell him you were best friends with David Carradine and he has to pay for another school scholarship. I don't know. Oh, got a lot of kids.
Well, then there's always Steven Seagal to round it out. So you never know.
Oh, my buddy Joe Estevez. He could totally get him.
Joe Estevez, there you go. Fucking forgot about Joe Estevez. Well, wait, don't we have at least two Baldwins that don't matter?
I think, yeah, well, that's just it. Yeah, Steven, basically no one wants to work with, and I don't
Isn't
think...
there like a Daniel or a Billy or a Brian or a Cedric or something?
Daniel and Billy basically just keep doing TV recurring roles on something like Hawaii Five-0, so they're good. But yeah, like... they must have had a better agent 5 decades too late, but yeah, it's just...
Either that or they paid attention in acting class. I don't know. I haven't watched them do their work recently, so who knows? But it's just TV, so what are we talking about here?
Right. And, well, that's where they're all going. Like, I don't think he could... don't get me wrong, anyone who's like been on a giant set, they're not going to work with someone like him. So he, you know, unless Charles Band works with him and says, "You're kind of funny," and gives him his blessing, I don't think anyone he's going to get.
You know
any.
What? I bet you I could see, just as a gimmick and for the shits and giggles of it, I could totally see like Paul Rudd signing on. He'll say, "Look, if this is SAG, I'll show up. I just want to see what's going to happen."
That might be funny, because he would, at the end of the day, he doesn't have to absolutely promote it. He'll just play what he's been doing on Conan, where he says, "Here's our movie," and he plays a clip from Mac and Me. So there you go.
Exactly, yes.
Some indie film person might be on there, and they'll do that. But yeah, I mean, maybe other B-movie guys who are already on a roll will start casting him in their movie. They'll do the, you know, putting Wiseau and Samurai Cop 2 thing, where they'll be like, see what we did there? We put another guy in there, and they blew up. Isn't that funny?
Now, did I tell you before that I tried to solicit Neil for an audition?
Did you really?
I did. I reached out to him on Twitter. Of course, he never got back to me, but it was literally before Pass Through and before Twisted Pair. It was back after, it was sometime in like 2014, 15, maybe. And I was he was doing a casting call for Pass Through. And I was like, "Hey, man,
okay,
I'm an actor in LA."
You did say that in the review. Yeah. And
I'll come out and audition, and never wrote back. And just
maybe backstage defunded him. Maybe they said, "No, you can't come on." Not accepting any postings from Neil Bream. We've gotten some shit talking about you. Because if the actors haven't said anything, and if they've retired and said, "I'm not cut out for this, I hated doing this so much," then I can only see maybe one or two cinematographers or people or editors who got an offer from them and they blacklisted them, and that was that. And people said, "Oh, he can't film our college video. Oh, no, he can't movie. What movie?"
That's true, actually. Yeah, he's probably, at this point, he's got enough recognition. He's probably burned his bridges in most of Las Vegas.
Even people who forgot who he was under a different synonym, you know, a different name.
Yeah.
Probably said, "Oh, I did work with that ass. He still owes me $500.
Yes, exactly.
But I'm telling you, Neil, you should re-emerge. You should totally just do, you should be a telemarketer or some shit. Like you should go on a random like local radio show. You should sell jewelry all day on the home shopping
area." You know what? I would buy a tennis bracelet from him in a heartbeat.
I would totally go and see him at a convention if I knew he was there, and just want to just pick his brain. And I would pretend to play along, and then after a while I'd ask him the number one question, is like, "How much pussy you get out of this movie? Hey, how much money you make up?" I just would fuck with him at that, just those last three sentences. And then I'm a security guard, so if you wanted to say, "Hey, security," I'd be like, no, I am security. I'm asking you these questions. And then maybe I'd even fuck with him even more. "You're wanted for murder in 500 states.
500 states.
To see if he even knows how many states there are, or if there's a constitution, you just fuck with him. There's more than one United States, you know, Neil Breen.
That's what? Right. Come on.
"Oh, that's right. I'm doing movies in Russia with Steven Seagal." It'd be even funnier. I would do that. I'm like, Steven Seagal is a friend of mine. He wants to work with you. And he'd probably be like, "Oh, that guy's a dick." I'm like, well, he's literally in the same mindset as you.
Possibilities are endless, and that's the real beauty of anything Breen related.
Oh, man. Neil Breen. And this is what's so funny is we like, again, like all the other infamous "so bad it's good" guys who are funny for all the wrong reasons, he does seem very dull. So I don't think he's very good at getting other people to sign on for his stuff, because they're probably fall asleep after barely a sentence, you know?
Yeah, I would say that if we were using D&D parlance, he certainly rolled like a 6 or a 7 in the charisma category. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got a shit ton of money. But again, unless you are an Eric Roberts type who will never say no and just wants to dick around and just get paid because they got nothing better to do, you know, unless it's maybe just someone who's just literally is bored and they got sold by someone. But yeah, like you say, he... He rolled the dice. He did not pass go and collect $100. That's Monopoly for you. But it's like, yeah, I mean, other than someone who has already for years compromised, you know, never given a shit. It's like he'd be hard pressed to find a Tim Thomerson or Keith David or Lance Ingridson or Tony Todd or Ernie Hudson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
People, those guys got standards, even for
being. They do. They do. I mean, you know, it's like.
Don't start in your piece of shit, but and maybe not say anything about it unless it's been 5 years. But even then, they're still going to expect, you know, trailer, you know.
Yeah, they got standards. Exactly. You know, they also show up and they work. They do their thing.
And he was working with a bunch of amateurs and extra equivalent, you know, types. So it's like, or people who just didn't do anything, were just friends. And so it's like, yeah, he's going to have to go through the back page Craigslist equivalent, you know, and just find just. Idiots of the Earth, you know, because that's what Eric Andre and Tim and Eric did for Adult Swim, because they got literally $1,000 budget. It's like, but that's just it. So maybe I just solved it. They'll bring him onto their show and they'll have to pretend to play along.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Tim and Eric, man, I know you, come on, you guys go into all these wacky people because they both inspire you and they amuse you being comedians. And Eric Andre, I mean, come on. He'd blow him up alone in one of his cars. Or just troll him, streak around naked, and Neil would be like, hey, man, God doesn't believe in being naked around other men.
All of these are situations that I would be, I would enjoy to see.
Do you think Neil is actually religious, or is that just another act, so to speak? He doesn't have the charm of a pastor. He doesn't have the charisma of a televangelist. Not that they do, but you know what I mean. To religious folks who are going to take, you know, the brainwashing. And I don't know that he's even good at brainwashing anyone, because he just is just so bizarre and confused and distorted. But yeah, I mean, I don't think he's actually religious, but I think he seems to believe in like spirits, but he's not even spiritual, even if that makes sense. Like,
I was going to say, I believe that's just spiritual, but
spiritual. I think he just sees the first adjective in the dictionary and just goes with it.
Yeah,
the businessman side of him must have just corrupted his soul literally to where he's not even good at any business, so thank God he got rich, because now he doesn't have to do shit.
Yeah, because the thing that's so strange about him is I know he's like he's an architect or a real estate guy or something like that in Las Vegas, and he made a bunch of money doing that. But that's a relatively.
If you speak numbers, that happens.
I mean,
overnight.
It's like it's a high. You have to have some sort of high functioning capability if you're going to design a building or something, you know.
If the check clears, you can be in business doing the most stupid, petulant thing for years, you know? So yeah. What is it about him that, again, aside from no charisma, that he's lasted as long as he did briefly for about 5-7 years and then just kind of came to a grinding halt even before COVID?
You know, you know, that's who knows? I think this guy is exactly.
Maybe he's out of ideas and he just, again, like any athlete, no, I'm still around.
Hey, you know what? Maybe he's a fucking alien. Maybe he's really legitimately not of this earth.
So Wiseau is just a Middle Eastern guy who I thought was D.B. Cooper. Neil Breen is freaking. Yeah, he could have very well been a bastard child who just grew up.
To quote my specialist in Breenism, Richard, again. He paraphrased a line from Garth Marenghi's Dark Place in describing Breen, in that Neil Breen has made more movies than he has seen.
And hey, who I was think this?
So there's a show. It's a brilliant show. If you've never seen Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, you need to. It's amazing. Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. And the lead character, or one of the lead characters, Garth Marenghi, I don't want to give too much away about like its structure, but yeah, he's an author, and his claim is, I've written more books than I've read. And so Richard spun that for this, saying, I think Neil Breen is the director who's made more movies than he's watched. And I 100% agree with it.
That's gold.
Yes. It's 100% yes.
Because, yeah, how else do we describe this? Okay, yes, I have heard of Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. It was like, that's where, what's his name, Richard Iotti from the IT Matt crowd. Barry. And Matt Berry from freaking What We Do in the Shadows. Yeah, I have heard of it. That is awesome. So what's wild is just how everyone's just found the time to watch his kinds of movies, because his movies are not easy to describe. And again, you know, he had that kind of Wiseau draw that,
yes,
anyone, if it was anyone else, we would have, you know, ejected the disc, torn it up, thrown it in the trash. And yet somehow he had enough of those cues of that unintentional laughter. It was just good enough, because you've seen what he's doing is the same as you've seen in any other amateur hour, where you're just like, oh no, 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 this is painful to watch. But somehow he had enough hype for a lot of the people who want to check out so bad they're good movies, to where they are a chore, and yet it's just, he's that zany, he's that distorted, you just can't help but just have a smile on your face. You're like, I want to understand the man. I do. I really do. I have no business giving him any moment of my time, giving how bad he is at everything, but there's just something about him, man.
That's the X factor.
Factor. The real X factor. Yeah. Oh, man. So this has been a joy having you on, my dude, Art.
Oh, it's been fun to sit here and just bullshit with you about my man Green. This is good times. I dig it. And I hope that we can rejoin once again when the sixth movie in his catalog comes out.
Oh, 1,000%. We're going to do a Breen-a-thon.
Oh, God damn it. That would be something special. That would be something. It would be like an endurance test. How many Neil Breen movies can you sit through back to back? Break.
It's already bad enough that you had the 5-hour documentary of him talking about all his movies. So it's like, you would literally, you know, I don't drink, unfortunately. So I would need to have like just, I would have to get, and I'm trying to eat healthier, so yeah, I would have to like have like maybe 5,000 bits of spinach pizza or some shit. And maybe, I don't know, I would have to have like,
what about so some much kombucha? Could you have that?
Kombucha. I suit you to there. Yeah. And it's like, I would have to have like 5 years worth of free frozen food before I said yes. You know, I would have to have all bills paid and just maybe even quitted my job by then and just said, fuck everybody, this is hysterical, let's go for this, let's wing it. You know, I would have to have so much on a platter for me to just say, sure, I'll for this day alone. And we would have to have wonderful kind of movie buddies, and we would have to have a pact. No, no, you can't. Once you sign up, you can't call in sick. You can't.
That's it. You're in. You're locked.
You have to be in this, and we have to be ready to guffaw. And it's not easy, because there are some people who can do bad movies, but they can only do it, again, if Elvira or Joe Bob is talking over the movie. And it sucks, because I know there's plenty of Misty's, Mystery Science Theater, or other campy guys who would gladly do something like this. Cinema Insomnia, I know you're out there. So it's like, maybe that's just it, too. We would have to do one of those free stream over the internet events that we record later or something.
Yeah.
Let's make some money off us watching shitty movies. I don't know.
Hey, we have to defray the pain somehow, and money always makes it feel better.
Right?
So, oh my God. Like fantastic, the X-Files, man.
The truth is out there. It stinks. Deep hurting, deep stinking, I say.
God damn right.
Special kind of aroma these things. Okay, well, so if we're going to close out, what are the main Breenisms that everyone should be looking for? All I can say is just look, you were concentrating a lot on how he walked. I was just, you know, people have talked enough about the computers. That's cheating. Anyone can Google that. So I'm just going to say just his delivery. Just like, just see how he, next time he starts off a movie, he starts off with a grin and then goes instantly to distress and everything with no proper transition or moment for the movie to breathe. What are some other brainisms, so to speak, that we should?
Stock footage is number one.
Yes.
Stock footage.
Production value, folks.
Yes. This man has made an art form out of using other people's work.
Using the exact same kind in all of his movies, where he's like, dude, come on, we need something new.
Yep. Stock footage, stock music. But if we're going to talk about major brainisms, clearly the delivery from himself and also his actors that he quote unquote directs. As Richard, again, my Breenism specialist pointed out, half the joy of a Neil Breen film is not just watching Breen, but watching those around him interpret his words. And either he's directing them a certain way or it's just the structure of the sentence, but they all tend to deliver it in the same way. And it's unclassifiable. It's just 100% terrible. And just thematic resurgences, you know. It's always about corruption. It's always about big business and corporations fucking over the little guy. And he's always the avenging angel. That's my avenging other favorite angel, reason.
Mainly go for just his plot twists.
Oh, because
they
God,
not only
yes.
will make you scratch your head, but they will also make you feel... It's like you both trust that, you know, I must have missed something. Then you realize, oh, well, what could I possibly understand?
What could I have possibly missed?
What could I have missed? The movie hasn't even started, and already I'm seeing angels and explosions and random people who are in charge who get shot by other people who claim to be in charge, but, you know, are just... And I guess the reason he just appeals so much is because of how nonsensical he is. He just opens up the door to where he's like, don't even bother trying to put any brain effort into it. Just have fun. Versus other movies where you're just like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Did I just see a movie that's made by an incel? Did I just see a movie that's, you know, drunk or, you know, crazy, you know, justice seeking vigilante? You know, it's like anyone else, you'd be worried and reporting to the FBI. With Breen, he clearly seems to have good intentions. And he's just, again, he's just like any crappy filmmaker where he's just not good at even tying his shoe, you know, and yet you just commend him on it because you want to see if he can do it differently. Come on, just give it your best. Is that South Park skit? Come on, class, just give me your best shot.
Yeah, valid. It's just, you know,
that would be great if he just randomly showed up on a VHS cover of a South Park tape.
Hey guys, what's this shit?
Yes. Oh, you're filling out my wish list of things that will never come to pass.
Right, because Neil doesn't have any connection to humankind. And
yes, that's true. That's why I think he's an alien. Yep.
he's the guy who wants to sign up for the Sierra Club, and then he ends up accidentally going to an InfoWars meetup and saying, this is wrong, and then storms out the door and breaks the door. You know, he's that kind of guy. He's just, he has a heart, but there's nothing beating inside that. Maybe he has a Dick Cheney mechanical heart, and somehow he wrongly thinks he's a cyborg.
Yeah. Seeking
humanity. He'd be like if Data on Star Trek was literally just never found any humanity. You know?
That's right. Yeah, he never had the taste of humanity.
If Rutger Hauer in Blade Runner was looking for, he wanted to be human, but didn't even realize the difference between any of that, and so just ran around on a random violent spree.
Oh, my Lord.
It'd be funny if he got a job as a script doctor and everyone just kept all these sleazy producers just would send letters back to him saying, fuck you, you're not getting paid. What is this shit? You know, he's that kind of guy. Even the pros are just going to say security, make sure he does not get even five blocks within Paramount Pictures or Amazon Studios. Fucking fired. So this has been a joy. Art, what movies are you doing next on Subversive Cinema? It's a great show, man. You were big on Instagram. I was just seeing you tagged and coming up in suggestions, and I found you, and next thing I know, I'm like, we had a collab. I checked out the episodes, and I love the different themes, you know, just sampling Cream Man to all other sorts of just bizarre Troll 2 era movies. And it's like, it's some person. And it is cool just how, again, just you're, I never know who's going to break first, you or your recurring guest. It is cool you actually, when it is a movie that legit, you know, has divided everyone, like Cannibal Holocaust or, you know, a Serbian film, is like, those are the best kinds of movies too, in that, again, they're not deep hurting so much as they are just movies that, you know, I legit do like Serbian film.
Oh, is I do too. I think it's a really well done movie.
Is it pretentious and heavy handed? Sure. But I'll take it any day over all this torture porn garbage. So it's like, and it had a soul.
Exactly.
It's half successful, it's up to the viewers. But it's like, then you go into all these other wacky movies that, you know, I'm surprised you haven't done something like The Exterminator or.
Oh, that's actually on my, I believe that is, I'm trying to think if that's on my season. I think I have it written down. I plot it out usually seasons ahead, but I also have a list of movies that are just off to the side. And I think that might be off to the side.
I just freaked out my family the other day. I watched A Million Little Things, which legit is a very well done dramedy mystery show that everyone should seek out. And I see Mario Van Peebles on there and everyone's like, I think I know that name. Doesn't he direct? I'm like, well, yes. And he's acting. And what's he been in? Jaws 4, Highlander 3. Oh, and freaking Exterminator 2. But it's like, and then he's done a lot of 90s hits like New Jack City and Posse. So like, he's a cool ass dude. He's been in everything. So it is kind of cool to just see those kinds of actors. Is like, again, they'll pop up in something mainstream and then they'll go back to doing shit and then vice versa. And then, you know, when you, it is so funny how halfway through you guys either get sick of the movie and you're like, fuck it, I'm not going to come up with a random fan theory that already doesn't make sense, but it's just my struggle to make this movie try and make sense because I love it so much. You know,
you know, that it's funny that you would say that, because that actually only really, at least from what I remember, only really happened once. And that's with, oddly enough, the movie that's coming out this week on September 9th. And that is Harmony Korine's Trash Humpers.
Oh, God.
Yeah, one, both Chris, my buddy Chris, who is also my unfortunate human centipede specialist.
Right, he, your torture. And
I put him through the paces with this one. This was so fucking bad.
You must endure.
But yeah, we got a lot of fun ones coming up in this season. Season 3, we got Necromantic 2, Tetsuo the Iron Man, Story of Ricky, Cronenberg's Crash, Dead Heat.
Oh, Crash.
A little gem that I really love called The Taint. for Thanksgiving, we're hitting up Thanksgiving 3 and ending out with Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so we got some fun stuff, and I'm also going to be moving to do some bonus episodes in the future.
Bonus episodes.
Oh yeah, and if you ever feel like you want to accept the challenge, you're more than welcome to. But these are going to be called Malignant Movies, and these are movies that are literally just made to be fucked up. Like, there's no story, or if there is one, it's
Do Evil Dead Trap. I'll do some of these that are just wacky movies.
This is the sort of shit that's like, you know, from Lucifer Valentine, like the Slaughtered Vomit Dolls or Slow Torture Puke Chamber and weird shit like that.
Oh, I mean, I did Body Melt. Is that a head start?
Yeah, that could work. Yeah, you know.
No promises. That's going to be some more fun. No.
That's right. So, yeah, we got some fun stuff. Yeah, check it out. Subversive Cinema. You can find that on all the podcasting.
Rated X.
And good stuff. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me, sir.
And then the internet just ricocheted. What are these guys talking about?
Do-do-do-do!
Pew-pew-pew-pew-pew-pew!
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a-